One of the things that they will do, as all cults do, they will have a different teaching than what the Bible teaches regarding the person of Christ. And it's not so much even his person we're going to talk about today as his divinity. Jesus Christ is a unique person. I don't have to tell anybody in this building that. You know that. You know that. Jesus is unique in human history simply because of his nature. So in John chapter 1 and verse number 1, we're going to read some verses that are very familiar to us, but verses that the Jehovah's Witnesses have had to change in their New World Translation to be able to teach their doctrine of who Jesus is. They believe that Jesus Christ is the very first thing Jehovah God created. So they believe that Jesus is a created being. In heaven, he was known as Michael the Archangel, according to Jehovah's Witness doctrine. They'll tell you he was Michael the Archangel, a spirit creature, as they call him. And when he came to earth and was born of Mary, his nature, that of a man, yet he did not become the Christ until he was baptized of John in the River Jordan. Well, if that is the case, we might as well take out the first portion of John chapter 1, the first two chapters of the Gospel of Matthew, the first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke, because they make no sense if Jesus became the Christ later on down the road. So, is that working? Not working? Okay. It's all right. So anyway, let's look at John chapter 1 and verse number 1. Very familiar scripture to you. And these are scriptures that really and truly you ought to put to memory. Ought to have some... Excuse me. I didn't have any coffee this morning. That might be why I'm yawning. Could be. But these are scriptures that it would not hurt to put to memory. Well, let's look in John chapter 1 verse 1. It says this, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, what do you notice about the word, Word? What do you notice about that? Look in your Bible. What do you notice about the word, Word? In the beginning was the Word. What is it? It's capitalized. It's capitalized. The King James translators, when it came to referring to Jesus as the Word, capitalized the letter W to show you that reference is to Jesus Christ as divine, as God, more than just a man. So in the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word, watch this, was God. The Word was God. Now, if you read the New World Translation, in the last phrase would say this, and the Word was a God. And there's no indefinite article in the Greek language in that verse. There's not one there. There's no letter A. They added that word in because they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. Well, if we're going to understand who Jesus is, we got to let the scriptures speak for themselves. We have to. Got to let the scriptures speak. Got to do it. And so with that understanding, we looked at John chapter 1 verse 1. The Bible plainly tells us that the Word was God. Now, if you'll look here in verse number 14, it says here, "And the Word," there's that capital W again, "was made flesh and dwelt among us." Now wait a minute. If Jesus Christ is just simply a man, or even if he's a spirit creature, let's just go with the Jehovah's Witness for a minute. Let's just say that he's a spirit creature. Why write this about him? Why? Spirit creatures, angels appeared to people all through the Old Testament. But no spirit creature was ever made flesh by being born of a woman. Now Abraham, in Genesis 18, saw three men. Later on, they're identified as angels in Genesis 19. Two of them are. And the other one is Jehovah God. Jehovah God appeared unto Abraham. He took on a human form. Oh, I can't believe he did that. Well, he did it. He did it. The Word was made flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us. The word dwell there is the word for tabernacle. He just basically pitched his tent among human beings during the 33 years he lived here. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, that tells us who Jesus is. Now here's what we're going to do today. We're going to spend a few minutes looking at some verses in the New Testament that discuss who He is as far as His divinity is concerned. One of the reasons we always encourage people to read the Gospel of John if they're searching for who Christ is, who Jesus is, number one, it tells us to do that. And just to give you the reference, if you're writing a reference down, let me give it to you. John chapter 20, verse 31 says, "But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through His name." So if you're writing references down, John chapter 20 and verse 31, of course that's mid-sentence, you can read verses 30 and 31, that tells us that John's gospel is given to show us who Jesus is. He's the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Life in nobody else but Jesus. But you gotta make sure your Jesus, listen, is the right one. If He's not the right Jesus, you're in trouble. A lot of folks have a Jesus. The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, other cults have a Jesus. But pardon my East Tennessee, it ain't the right Jesus. Ain't the right one. So with that in mind, let's just take a few verses in John's Gospel. And what we're going to do in a minute, I'm going to get a few of you men, if you would, to read me some Old Testament verses. So just be ready. I'm going to call on some of y'all to just get your Bible, and we're going to flip back to some verses in the Old Testament, and we're going to read some of these and look at them today. Let's look at John chapter 5. Look at John chapter 5 and look at verse number 18. John 5, verse 18. Let's look at that one. The paragraph, Mark, is in verse 17, but Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Verse 18. "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Now, I don't know how you may interpret that, but it sounds to me the reason the Jews were going to kill him was that they thought Jesus made himself equal with God. That's kind of what it sounded like. In fact, that's exactly what I just read. Why in the world can't the Jehovah's Witnesses see that? Why is that? Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 4, "But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." It all has to do with the person of Jesus. All has to do with that. So here we have John 5:18. They were getting ready to stone him, wanted to kill him because, look, they said he was making himself equal with God. Now if that happened today, we wouldn't, if someone said, "Hey, I'm God," we wouldn't stone him today. We'd just simply try to find him a nice comfortable room and stick him, put him away where they wouldn't hurt themselves. I mean, they're out. I mean, they need to join the loony bin. That's where they're at. But the Jews understood Jesus plainly to claim equality with Jehovah God in John 5:18. Now, if that is misinterpreted by the JWs, then that's their fault. But that's what the Scripture plainly teaches. Now, let's go to John chapter 8. Go to John chapter 8. We're in John 5. Go to John chapter 8. Look at verse number 23. Now, Brother Allen, just a second, I want you to get Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, okay? We're going to let you read that verse out loud to us. Exodus 3, verse 14. Look in John chapter 8, look in verse 23. "And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I'm from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you." Now here's the thing. Somebody said verse, "I'm not of this world." Could the angels say that? Well, the angels would have no need of saying that because the angels did not take on human flesh. John 5:20 or 8:24 says this, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." Now I want you to notice the word "He" in verse 24 is in italics. Now what that word, anytime you see a word in italics, it doesn't mean the word does not need to be there. The King James translators added that word, put it in italics to let you know it was not in the original language. They did that for reading continuity. They did that so we would be able to read it and it would not sound choppy. When you bring one word from a language into another language, it's one thing. But when you translate a sentence from one language into a next, many times it will appear choppy if you just do it in a regular... I mean, go to Google Translate sometime. find somebody, put something in Spanish or French or German or Swahili or whatever, and then have it translate over to English, and you'll see how choppy it is. Well, you need to have somebody to smooth the language out. So what I'm getting ready to tell you, I'm not correcting the Bible. What I'm telling you is in the what the Jews would have heard and would have already understood is here's what they would have understood. Watch this. Look at verse 24. For if you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. The first person who ever pointed this out was Charles Lawson. The first person I ever heard talk about that was Charles Lawson down in Tennessee on the radio. Say, what's the big deal with that? Well, let's flip over toward the end of the chapter. We're going to look at it one more time. Let's just look at verse 51 because it's such beautiful scripture. John 8:51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. I'm telling you what, when you read verse 56, there's a different spirit. I mean, I know those other words were his, but Jesus is getting ready just to come out with one of the greatest, it's not a punchline, but one of the greatest lines in the Word of God. You'll see, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Now, you see that. And I'll just give you another reference. Just briefly, I did not have that one down here. In John chapter 18 and verse 6, and as soon as he had said unto them, I am, he, of course that he is in italics, they went backward and fell to the ground. John 18 verses 5 and 6, if you're writing references down. You have the reference where Jesus uses, the Greek construction is this, ego eimi. I am, emphatically. I am, I am. Now, that doesn't make any sense to us until, number one, the Jews, John 8:59, then took they up stones to cast at him. Why did they do that? Why did they do that? Brother Allen, I want you to read Exodus chapter 3, verse number 14. Moses is asking God, but when I go unto the children of Israel, they're going to ask me, what is his name? What do I tell them? Here's what God says to Moses, Exodus 3:14. I am that I am. Thus say you say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Jesus in John chapter number 8 and also in John chapter number 19, watch me now, was claiming equality with the same one who spoke to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter number 3. Amen. Who is Jesus claiming to be? He is claiming to be the Almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God of the universe. That's who he's claiming to be. That's amazing to me. We already read in John chapter 10 last week where Jesus said, I and my Father are one. If you're claiming to be one with the Father, you are either a liar, a lunatic, or you're the Lord of glory. Now, C.S. Lewis didn't get a whole lot right, I'll tell you that, but he got that much right. He said Jesus was either a liar, he was a lunatic, or he was Lord. Now, I'm going to give you this. We know he's not a liar because he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nor is he a lunatic, even though they thought that he had a devil and needed some help. Remember, his mom and brothers came to him, you need to come out of the sun. been out there too long. He wasn't a lunatic. He was the only one on earth who was in his right mind. Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. That's who He is. That is who He is. That's who He is. So the Scriptures bear that out. That's the Scriptures bear that out. So, in the Gospel of John, here's what we see. We see Jesus as, watch this, the I Am. Jesus claims to be Jehovah God. All right. Now let's shift gears and let's look at some other quotes. Go over to the book of Colossians, Old Testament book of Colossians. Old Testament. There's no Old Testament book of Colossians. Now let's try the New Testament. Colossians chapter 2, in the verse number 9. We could go to chapter 2 and verse 2 and really talk about that, but we're not going to mention anything in chapter 2 and verse number 2, other than when Paul talks about the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, he is telling his people, he is telling God's people that there is a relationship between God and the Father in Christ, is what he's saying. So having said that, let's look in verse number 9. For in Him, speaking of Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Did you get that? Every ounce of Godhood, if you will, is found in the person of Christ. Now, it's interesting that this verse follows the verse before it. Not because it follows the verse before it, but because of what it says. Look at verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. Now there are several ways we can look at that verse, and of course in the context, we could refer to it as what Paul's talking about. But I want us to consider that this morning just for a minute. There are philosophies and traditions of men which tell us that Jesus Christ is not who He claimed to be. He's not God. Can I tell you, Jesus is more than a man. He's God. He's God. And that is a fact of the Bible. It is a fact of history. It is a fact, plain, simple, black and white, that unless we twist the Scriptures to change it, everybody's got to be able to see that. Everybody has to. Look at verse 9 again. For in Him dwelleth all. I wonder what all means. I wonder what the word fullness means. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In a human body, Almighty God dwelt in the person of Jesus Christ. And notice this, verse number 9, for in Him dwelleth. That's present tense. Dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Right now. How in the world can that happen with Christ being the body sitting on the right hand of God? Look at me. I have no clue. I just know that's what it says. That's what it says. So who is Jesus? A lot of times you'll hear this fact that, well, in 325 AD, Constantine called for the Council of Nicaea, and it was at the Council of Nicaea that the church decided that Jesus was God. The church didn't decide that Jesus was God. They didn't decide that. They simply stated the fact of the Bible, what the Bible had already said. There's a man by the name of Arius who said that Jesus was human and not divine. And because of that, we call them Arians. Not the same Arian as Hitler, but an Arian. In fact, really, the Jehovah's Witnesses of today are the same Arians who were around in the 4th century. That's all they are. All heresies have been around in the past. They just put on new clothes and show back up at your front door. That's the way they work. So the Council of Nicaea 325 did not decide Jesus was God. They simply looked at the Scripture and said He is. So it was not a church decision. Can I tell you, it was a Bible truth that they simply stated. So Colossians tells us that He is God. Now having said that, let's look at one more this morning. And then next week, I've got a couple that I do want to look at because we're going to just sew this thing up over this Sunday, next Sunday. We're going to look at the who, the deity of Christ, at the Bible, how it teaches the deity of Christ. Now I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 8. Hebrews 1 and verse number 8. And then I'll need one of you, Brother Paul, you wouldn't care to read Psalm 45, would you? Just one verse in Psalm 45 and verse number 6. I'm going to double check and make sure that reference is right. I'm pretty sure it is, but let me just make sure. or sure, as they'd say down in Tennessee. You don't sure things up, you shore them up. Yeah. Now, so if we look at chapter 1 of Hebrews in verse number 8, it says this. But under the Son, He saith. Now who's the He talking? This is God. God says to the Son, watch this. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Now, let's look at verse number 6 and 7. So, Brother Paul, just go and get those if you would, brother. Psalm 45. Yes, sir. Oh, here's 1:8. He says, but under the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Now, where did that quote come from? Psalm 45 and verse 6. 6. Just go and do 6. That'll be fine. The scepter of thy kingdom. Yes, sir. So there it is again. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And it's amazing, even verse number 7 says, therefore God thy God hath anointed thee oil of gladness above thy fa-. Now how in the world can God anoint God? Somebody want to explain that to me? I'll give it to you in good old East Tennessee. I ain't got no idea. But what we need to understand is this. We need to understand that the Old Testament quotations that are being used in the New are being used in the sense they're understood that Almighty God, Jehovah God, is speaking of Christ, but calling Him God. Now what we're going to do next week, we've got a couple of more verses we're going to show you. So, first of all, the New Testament identifies Jesus as God. The Gospel of John identifies Him as the I Am. Colossians and Hebrews both identify Jesus as God, as deity. Next week, we're going to look at a couple of things. We're going to see that Jesus, watch this, is prayed to. You don't pray to anybody but God. Right. Years ago, I prayed to Mary and I prayed to the saints. Well, I quit doing that when I found out they're not God. Right. You don't pray to them. Right. You don't pray to people.
Right.
I know some folks, they'll say, you know, we're sending prayers your way. Well, don't send prayers my way because I can't help you. Send prayers His way. Pray to Him. If you're saved, if you're not saved, don't even worry about it. But, you know, but we're going to look at that He's prayed to. And we're going to look at two places which show conclusively the identity of Jesus as God. So we're going to look at those, Lord willing, next week and then come back and move on through some of the other false doctrines that the Jehovah's Witnesses teach. All right. Lord, we thank You for this day and pray that You'd bless the remainder of the time and keep folks safe as they come in. And we'll thank You, Lord, for Your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen.